Well, it's been a feast, hasn't it? I've got one word, and then I could actually sit down. The word is breakthrough. Breakthrough is on the way. Breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough is here. And we need to get hold of the fact that our God is a God of the breakthrough. If I ask you, we've sung about 6 or 7 names, at least, of God this morning, by which he calls himself. But I guess few of us know that God actually calls himself the Lord of breakthrough, or the Master of breakthrough. It comes in one obscure passage of scripture, and that's in 1 Chronicles 14. And it's when David had just been crowned king of all Israel. And that anointing carried such power that the enemy got very, very disturbed at that moment of time, the Philistines. And there was a battle that ensued. And this morning, I don't want to go into, I'm not talking about strategies, because there are two different strategies here in this chapter where David defeated the enemy. But that's not my purpose. My purpose this morning is simply this. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines, and will they give them into my hand?" The Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will give them into your hand." So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand." And I want you to just catch hold of that phrase. God broke through the enemies by David's hand. And we have the privilege of cooperating with God in his great work. It is his work. It is not our work. We cooperate with him as David cooperated with the Lord here. God broke through by the hand of David. And therefore they named the place Baal Perazim. It was like the breakthrough of many waters. It's interesting that Baal Perazim means the Lord of the breakthroughs, or the Master of breakthrough. I'm surprised that God used the word of a foreign god, Baal, for himself. And he named that the Lord of breakthroughs. And he is the Master of breakthrough. And I think we need to get hold of that if we're ever going to see what we believe God has in store today for us. Then we need to understand that God is the God of breakthrough. And he is breaking through all over this world. And we need to see that breakthrough, particularly in this nation and across Europe. Because frankly, we are the graveyard. I think I've said before that there isn't one megachurch in the Western world. They're all in other parts of the world. They're in Korea. They're in, the Philippines, they're in India, they're in South America, they're in Africa, particularly Nigeria. And these are churches that are a million strong. Korea, of course, where Wongi Cho is. None are actually in the Western world. We are the graveyard of Christianity, and we really need to repent as a church in this nation, because we sent thousands of missionaries out from this nation across the world to break through with the gospel in other nations. Lord, help us. Help us to say, "Lord, we are so sorry that we have let you down in the way that we have. So much so that we're the backwater now instead of the ones on the front foot. But praise God, we are going to come back onto the front foot once again." You know, it's interesting, when we talk about the sovereignty of God, you know, we know full well that he is sovereign, he can do what he likes, when he likes, what he likes, however he likes, wherever he likes. But we often lead one word out, who he likes. And he has chosen in his sovereignty to limit himself to you and to me. As he did with David, David said, the Lord has broken through by my hand. We are going to see God break through in so many different ways by our hands. The Lord of breakthroughs. Just as Jesus did, if we think about it, in his earthly ministry. You know, some have talked about Jesus being a great initiator. Well, he initiated nothing, actually. He just what he saw his dad doing. You know, it's John 14, I think it is, it's somewhere there. Now let me flick back and come to that, which is us. John 5. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. As we have the privilege of cooperating with our Father, we are following in the footsteps of Jesus, because that's exactly what he did. He cooperated with what the Father was doing, what he saw the Father doing. It was the Father's work, not his own work. And there's that sense that we likewise cooperate fully with what the Father is doing and what Jesus is doing, if you like. You know, it's I find this hugely challenging. How much stuff have I done that hasn't been what Jesus wanted me to do? Because John 15 and 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, he can do nothing. That's the challenge for us. We should be able to say we can actually do absolutely nothing except what Jesus has asked us to do. If we abide in him and he in us, then that is exactly what will happen. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So another can you unless you abide, neither can you unless you abide in me. So it's that twofold thing. We cooperate with the Son of God, with the works he is declaring and showing you and me to do. And you know, really it's simple, isn't it? Or should be. We just watch what he's doing, watch what he's asking us to do, and we go and do it. It's the only way for us to have a ministry that is worth anything. To follow that through, you need to look at the way Jesus trained his disciples. Just to fully cooperate in what he was doing, fully cooperate in the miracles. You see, the Bible is an amazing tool for us because we have a record of everything that's gone on. But can you imagine being one of Jesus' disciples and you're faced with a problem, as we've David, I think, mentioned, of having 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus saying, oh, give them out to these 5,000 men. How about the women and children that were there? There were probably 8,000 people there that day, something in that order. And Jesus said, okay, we've got 5 loaves and we've got 2 fish, that's enough. I mean, the disciples must have looked at him and thought, he's crazy, isn't he? What am I following this guy? But he got them to cooperate in the miracle because he handed it to them. And can you imagine being one of the disciples of Jesus and you've got a basket in front of you and you're looking at it and it's filling up all the time. It's not getting any emptier. It continues to get full and more full and more full and more full until everybody is fed full. They're stuffed up to here. And yet there's plenty left over. I mean, that is cooperating in the miracles of God. And the time is now where we are going to see God move in miraculous and powerful ways. But we are going to cooperate with him in those miracles. He says, lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Well, it's my hands that have been laid on the sick. He's doing the healing. And we could look at, one encouraging thing to me is that Jesus just didn't send the 12 out. He sent 70 out. That gives me encouragement that things didn't end with the 12 apostles. He had sent 70 out, and they did exactly the same things that the 12 did. And, they accomplished the miracles. Jesus grounded them and said, hold on a minute. Don't get too cocky. It's better that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But goodness, I don't know how I would have felt. Been amongst those 70, seeing all these miracles going on. But it's very interesting. There's a little word that they came back and said, if I can find it, Luke 10. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They didn't say it in our name. The cooperation was there between Jesus and his disciples because they recognized that they could do nothing in that respect without him and without his name. It was in his name. And we use his name today in the same way if we're ever faced with demonic activity. And we're going to see that more and more. But it's in his name that demons are driven out. It's very interesting. A story goes back to John Wesley's day. And you don't think of John Wesley in this way, founder of the Methodist Church. Well, some of his disciples were one day in difficulty. They were trying to cast this demon out of this lady. They were struggling. She was all over the place, and they were not getting very far. And all of a sudden, the demon says, yonder comes Wesley riding on his horse. I am done for. I am going. The demon left. Wesley was probably supposedly 3 miles away riding on his horse. But you see, the recognition of authority in that man, the recognition of the authority of Jesus that he had, and the power of the Holy Spirit that empowered him, the demonic powers were able to say, we are done. We're out of here. And that was true of a friend of ours who led New Life. It was Clyde Sandry before David Cooper came. The same thing happened to Clyde. There were some people trying to deliver a guy or a girl, I can't remember which. And Clyde walked into the room, and the demon said, Clyde Sandry's walked into the room, I'm out of here. He knew that his time was up because the man of God was carrying the authority. But that is true for all of us. It's not just for Robin. It's not just for me. It's not just for whoever. You know, the Benny Hinns of the world and so forth. Is each one of us carries that, and I'll come to that in a minute. We are called to carry on his work. You know, and if you look at, you know, there's a, there's, sometimes we read the Bible and we miss things. Because Acts 1 and 1, when Luke gave his account to Theophilus, all that Jesus began to do and teach, the little word is "began." There's an expectation that the work of Christ would continue from that day forward, and it is still going on today. But what was those works? A lot of the works that we do, I'm not sure that's the sort of works that Jesus did. Jesus performed miracles. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. That was the major part of his ministry. So what about us? What about our breakthrough? I've got a picture to show, if we can throw that picture up. It's an unusual picture. You'll see that picture, and somewhere on there, the year 1954 is written. Well, in about 99, I think it was, something like that. You know, you get in these meetings and you get prophets around you, and sometimes they call you out and sometimes they didn't. Well, this prophet began to prophesy over me. And he began with the words 359, and he kept on about 359, 359. And of course, if some of us are old enough, in 1954, Roger Bannister and his team did the impossible because they broke the four-minute mile. And this is a picture that was painted by a great friend of mine at the time, who was a really good artist. And we can see the legs going right through that glass and that door and the laurel leaves around it and so forth. But it was all about God's breakthrough for me in my life and my ministry. And he kept on, 359, 359, 359. But he said, and this is for all of us, Bannister did not do 359 just like that. He kept on 401, 401, 401, 401. And eventually they came to a point where they knew 359. They knew the moment of breakthrough. And we are faithful here in just following Jesus. Like Bannister did the 401s, it's true for us here. We are just doing that. 401, 401, 401. The breakthrough is on the way. 359 is coming. And Lord, let it happen soon. Let it happen now. For us to move into a new realm of the supernatural. Now, the supernatural simply means beyond the laws of nature. And, you know, we're so bogged down in this nation simply by human thinking and human ways that we forget that we serve a God who is completely supernatural. You know, what are some of the things? I wrote a few down this morning because someone quoted this one this morning. You know, that God does the impossible. Matthew 19 and 26. All things are possible with God that aren't possible with man. And we need to get hold of the fact that God is the God of the impossible. Bill Johnson has a comment, which I can understand why he said it, because you know, if you press you've got to press the button sometimes a long way for people to understand and get back to where it really lies. And one of his comments was, "Well, if it's not impossible, I doubt it's God." Their church live in the realm of the impossible. We need to move as a church into the realm of the impossible. They see miracles they have done for the last 30 years, every day, every day. They have a leadership meeting even today that will take 2 hours talking about the miracles that have gone on that week. The miracle of salvation, the miracles of healing, the miracles of deliverance. And they are into the raising of the dead, which we will be shortly. But yeah, I mean, if we look at this, the God of the impossible, that means beyond the laws of nature. Peter walking on water, impossible. A man late for a meeting. He was the main speaker at this meeting. His flight was late. He lands at the airport and says, how far have we got to go to the meeting place? 3/4 of an hour. The meeting started long ago. I'll never make it. Suddenly, he finds himself in the middle of the meeting. God had just taken hold of him and done the impossible, broke the laws of nature, just like Philip had shot him into the air, down into the meeting. Feeding of the 5,000, have we said. Heidi Baker in Mozambique, that's a regular occurrence. They have a pot of stew, and that pot of stew it probably would feed 20 people or 30 people. Well, when you've got about 1,000 hungry young children in front of you who are starving, then what happens? They just ladle and ladle and ladle and ladle until every child is fed, and then it just stops. We think of, you know, laying hands on people. Well, Robert and Lano, and we have seen this. You got a 6'2", 6'3" guy stood in front of you weighing about 15, 16 stone. There ain't any way he's going to fall on the floor. But, you know, you can just go like that. And the guy suddenly has disappeared. Where's he gone? He's lying flat on the floor. That's defying the laws of nature. That's supernatural. Laying hands on the sick. We had a lady in one of our previous churches. It was impossible for her to have children. It was not possible. She'd had IVF and everything possible. And then one day I was watching her on the floor, literally as if she was giving birth. All the contractions were going on in her body. So I got two of the nurses out and I said, just go down and pray for her. In about a couple of weeks' time, she was pregnant with her first child. I was never bothered then to take any precautions. We've had a child, it's a miracle baby. Well, about 3 months afterwards, the second one was on its way. A double portion. But there was someone, by the laws of nature, could not possibly have a child. And yet God intervened. And she did have a prophetic word at one time over her life to say that would happen. Not long before we actually prayed for her. You know, I long for breakthrough and I live for breakthrough. My first breakthrough, when I was a bit of a raw rookie, goes back to, I think it was 1973. And I'll try and cut the story down a little. But Chris's parents lived quite near us. We were in Watford at the time. And they got either a letter, or I believe it was a phone call from some dear friends in the West Country to say that their daughter, 19-year-old, had been diagnosed with leukemia and there was no hope. In those days, they didn't have a lot going for them as far as cancer was concerned in 1973. So I agreed that I would take them down there just to comfort. Phyllis and Bert, their friends. As I was driving down, the Lord began to niggle me, which he does, and say, I want you to pray for Kathy. Of course, I took no notice. I avoided it, and I was driving the car. About 10 miles down the road, the Lord says the same thing. And it, of course, it often runs in threes, doesn't it? One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. On the third one, I got the message. And I said to Chris's dad, I think the Lord's asking me to pray for Kathy. And in a matter-of-fact way, he said, all right, I'll just talk to Bert when we get there. So we got there, and he talked to Bert. And Bert said, okay, yeah, that's fine. Let's go to the hospital now. So I'd hardly got my breath after 180 miles driving. So off we go to the hospital. And of course, in a no-hope situation, goodness knows how many people can be allowed into the room. And so there were four or five of us. We were sat this side. And I kept asking God, saying, when do you want me to pray, God? When do you want me to pray? I was perhaps more sensitive to the Holy Spirit then. And then suddenly, three or four of either her family or friends, who were all unbelievers, walked in and sat on the other side. God said, now. And I said, I thought you were going to say that. Because God wants his glory. And Kathy, of course, lived. And I don't know if she's still alive. That was a long time ago. But I'll come to the greater miracle in this story. Bert and Phyllis were in a meeting, probably they said about 300 people, something like that. When the guy that was preaching got off the platform, walked down the aisle, I'll walk as far as John, it was a good bit further, and put his hand on Bert's shoulder and said, well, what's your name? And he said, my name is Bert. He said, Bert, the Lord says this. Your daughter is critically ill, and it's an illness unto death. But someone will come from afar, will pray for her, and she will be healed. Now, this is when you've got God's authority. Bert turned to him and said, you've got the wrong man. He said, my daughter's not ill. He said, she's got a bit of a rash. But she's, you know, she's getting married in a few weeks' time. And we just put it down to that. And the guy was called George Canty, by the way, one of the fathers of the healing movement. He said, Bert, I make mistakes. God never makes a mistake. I'm telling you, this, God says, that this is what's going to happen. And it did. I was the guy, fortunately, in the plan of God that came from afar. But that set me on a journey that continues today. And I long to see God break through in lives. You know, I bless God for the health service. I wouldn't be here, perhaps, if it wasn't for the health service. But I love Africa. Over there, there are very few options. It's either God, the witch doctor, or you're dead. Simple as that. Now, they are as untaught as you could possibly imagine, but their faith level is somewhere up there when ours is down here. Now, we have all the tools for breakthrough. We don't need any more. God has given them us all. First of all, he's given us his authority. We have and carry the authority of Christ. Jesus said, all authority is given to me. So no one else has any authority. The devil's got no authority. He has limited power, and it's often if we give him that. But he does not have authority. And we carry the authority of Jesus wherever we go. And we can speak the name of Jesus into situations and lives and see them changed by our hand, but through God's mighty power. Secondly, we have the Holy Spirit. Bob Mumford, who's one of the original founders of the Charismatic Church, was moaning to God one day. And he said, God, he said, why am I not seeing this? I need more. God said to him, how more can I give you? I've given you my Son. I've given you my Word. I've given you my Holy Spirit. Is there anything more to give? And Bob Mumford crawled down in his chair and said, I don't think there is, Lord. Our problem is we don't use it as we need to. It's, so we have authority, we have power, we have his Word. What I want to say about the Holy Spirit, let him out, let him go. Robert and me talk often about the geezer that we, the vision that we had over in Bridlington. You know, let the geezer of the Holy Spirit burst forth in you and me. We won't lose out because it'll immediately top it up and fill it up and go on filling it up. The reason we dry up is because we don't give it away. Let's release the Holy Spirit more and more amongst us and amongst the people that we meet. Lives are going to change. Receive more of what is available to us. And the other thing, of course, is faith. And we've got the faith declaration over there. Let's stand and read it, shall we? Because this is faith. Simple as this. I am who the Bible says I am. I can have what the Bible says I can have, and I can do what the Bible says I can do. Let's read it again so we get hold of it.
I am who the Bible says I am.
Have
what the Bible says I can have.
I can do what the Bible says I can do. You see, faith is doing the impossible, believing for the impossible. Faith is absolutely being certain that what he has said will happen. And we've declared it. That's what he's promised us. And that should be our declaration day by day, that you've said it, God, and it's going to happen. There's this song, isn't there, that God says it, I believe it, and it's done. I mean, it did come from Smith Wigglesworth originally. That was one of his things that he used to say. And I had an old friend that I actually took his funeral, who was a disciple of Wigglesworth. Beautiful man, Les. Loved him to bits. But such a man of God, the kind of, awe is the wrong word, I don't like that word, but it's that sense of the presence of God just surrounded this dear old man of God. And I love being in his company. But he knew Wigglesworth well enough as a young man to go to his birthday parties. That's how well he knew Wigglesworth. But it's seeing the unseen. Let's then raise our expectation that God is going to use you and me in the breakthroughs. And let's not wait till, I can't afford to wait. Don't have all that many years left on the planet. So I need it tomorrow or today. Because God is the God of breakthroughs. But he breaks through by our hand. He breaks through by our hand. It is his work. We cooperate with his work. So we cooperate with him in the impossible. Because all things, all the impossible things are possible to God. Let's stand and pray. If you personally need a breakthrough, and you know what that breakthrough is in your life, this morning is the time to receive it. But also, this morning is the time to grasp hold of God and say, God, I am here to do the impossible by my hand, holding your hand, as we walk and cooperate together in what is your great work, not mine and not ours, his work. But let's take his hand and say, like David could, Lord, you have broken through by my hand. So, Father, I pray this morning that you will release, O God, the breakthrough. We declare that you are the master of breakthrough. We declare this morning that you are Lord of the breakthroughs. So, God, breakthrough in our lives, breakthrough in every life that you cause us to touch in the impossible. Yes. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of the possible, and you can break every impossible situation open because you are the God of breakthrough. So this morning, Lord, we receive our breakthrough in Jesus' name. We receive by your hand the breakthrough that we are looking for. But Lord, this morning we release your breakthrough by your Holy Spirit to your people, that we will become carriers of the breakthrough of Jesus into our lives, the life of this church, the life of this village, the life of every town and village represented in this region that we have responsibility for. God, breakthrough by our hand this morning, we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen.